This is episode 17 of the Great Speech Podcast on Proper Preparation Prevents Poor Presentations, an interview with Yasmin Elbaz.
Yalla, yalla.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. Greetings, my great communicators. How are you guys doing? I hope you're well. This is, of course, Collar Relation IK, your communications chiropractor, bending your persuasion muscles into shape so you can communicate with impact. And this, in fact, is the first interview I've done since the recent UK elections in which Boris Johnson won. No, I'm not a fan. Against Labour's Jeremy Corbyn. No, I'm not a fan. Which means he'll be pushing through Brexit. Again, I ain't a fan. So it's probably no surprise that I went out of the country this week for an interview because I'm speaking with an executive speech coach called Yasmin Elbaz. She is based out in Egypt. She's an instructor at the American University in Cairo, has delivered lots and lots of training and coaching throughout the North African and Middle Eastern world, in Tunisia and Morocco and Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. She's done a TEDx talk, which I'm so jealous because I still haven't done one, but I will one day. And she's also been the Vice President of Education at the Cairo Toastmasters Club. So she's really a well-versed public speaking and presentation skills executives coach. But the reason I actually spoke with her is because we didn't know each other before at all. She was just somebody that I would get stuff on my LinkedIn feed coming through and I'd be kind of noticing, oh, that was good. I like what she said there. And I'd kind of move on. Then something else would come through. Oh, I like that and I'd like it. And I was just seeing so much great value, really good information that she would be sharing with her own audience on LinkedIn. So eventually we connected. I kindly asked her if she would do this interview and she agreed. And the focus of it really is about how to prepare properly for presentations, which you know is incredibly important. But in the discussion, it actually goes quite far ranging. We talk about any differences between public speaking in Arabic versus English. I love her point about the first question you should not be thinking about is who is in your audience when you're preparing your speech. I'd kind of always said that that was one of the first things you should think about, but I love her answer. In fact, I agree with her. So she's already persuaded me on that particular point. She talks about how to influence people and how that's not the same thing as making them happy. And she's got a great perspective on how to still be able to speak with passion even if the topic you're speaking about is inherently dull. So a lot of great value in this interview. There's a moment about halfway through when the audio suddenly drops. That's me messing up. It's only for about a second. So if you hear it, you'll know that it's happening. But all in all, really great conversation. We have an initial chat just about who she is and how she kind of came to be where she is, which is really interesting. And then it really gets going when we get into the meat of how to approach preparing for your presentation. So all in all, a great interview. One of my favorites, actually. Thank you, Yasmin, for doing it and agreeing. And let's get going. Turn the distractions down. Focus your ears. And let's see what Yasmin has to share with us. Here we go. And welcome back to the Great Speech Podcast. This is, of course, me, Collar Relation IK. And I'm so pleased to welcome Yasmin Elbaz to the show for the first time. How are you, Yasmin?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much, Collar. I'm so glad to be with you. And I'm glad that we finally were able to manage making that interview.
Yes. And I'm also glad. See, I shouldn't really tell anyone this, but Yasmin and I actually started this interview for about 5 or 10 minutes and I forgot to press record. So we've had to start again. So
Never mind. We've
had to start again. Yeah, thank you. See, yeah. So we all make the mistakes.
Fine. It's more like practicing. Know. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, thanks for hanging in with me on this.
Never mind.
Okay, so listen, as you know, I start all my episodes with a quote.
Okay.
I always give that privilege to the guests. So if you have a quote, please tell us what it is and tell us who made the quote.
Okay, I have two quotes that are my favorite. The first one for Abraham Lincoln, which is, if I have 9 hours to chop down a tree, I will spend the first 6 hours sharpening my axe. This one is my
Love it.
favorite. Yes, I am a big fan of planning and preparation. And especially when it comes to public speaking, I always tell my clients and trainees that 90% of the success of any presentation or speech is already decided before you stand on stage or before you hit that boardroom. So
Yes,
I'm a big believer.
Yes,
yes, I'm a big believer.
Thank you so much for saying that. I keep saying that and emphasizing it. It cannot be said
Yes.
enough. So and in fact, I'm going to ask you about your thoughts and your tips on preparation as well. So really good that you said that. Okay, cool. And what's the second one?
Yes, the second quote, it's for Churchill when he said, if you are going through hell, keep going. I love that quote. Yes, because I totally understand that starting anything is hard, but the harder part is to keep going. Having the persistence to keep going on your road is not easy at all. So yes, we can make big hits, big success, but the point is how to keep going. This is the point. That's why this is also one of my favorite quotes.
Love that. Excellent quotes. And yes, great communicators persist in everything. There really is no other way.
Yes.
In fact, I was giving that lesson to my daughter this morning, actually, because she was struggling with some work. So yeah, I'll let her listen back to this and see it's not just me saying that.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, look, as I say, I'm really glad to have you on this podcast. I've followed you for a while. We're connected on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the passion with which, you know, the sense of mission that you seem to have with when it comes to public speaking. I kind of read pretty much all the stuff that you post, and I love the interaction that you have. And
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, in fact, I'm going to jump into this part first, was you really do seem to be trying to do something, to achieve something, to change the world in some way in relation to public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a conscious thing in your mind? Is it just something that's inside you? Did you make a specific decision that that's what you're going to do? Just give us an insight into your thinking on this.
Yes. Well, actually, when I started, I only had the one thought in mind, that I want to see more people standing, speaking with confidence. And then when I kept meeting client after another, coaching one person after another, training one person after another, I started to see that the stereotypes that are relevant to public speaking are many, and they are preventing lots of people of speaking up their ideas. And the more I see knowledgeable people, experienced people, and they are just sitting down and reconsidering each time they have that speaking opportunity, are we the right person? Am I the right person? Do I have anything to give to others? While on the other hand, we have other people who don't have half the knowledge, half the experience.
Yes, but are willing to get up there and speak, right?
Yes. And I keep telling this, and I have said this million of times, public speaking is not a show. It's not a show making. It's not just to stand there making some entertaining things to other people and that's it. If you don't have value, if you don't have something to say, then no, you're just making a stand-up comedy or anything, any entertainment or fun show. So the main goal I have inside of me is that I would love to help people, those who have exerted lots of effort and gave their dedication to their fields, their careers, to excel in them. And I want to help those people to reach the spot they deserve to speak up their ideas. That's why I always tell other people, if you would like to be the star of the show and stand there so people can clap their hands to you, maybe I'm not your person. But I am your person if you have that objective inside of you, that you would like to make a change, that you would like to add value, that you would like to help others, then I will be there for you to give you the right techniques, the right skills, so you can deliver your message in that way.
I love that, because that is really what it's all about. Listen, thank you so much for saying that, because
you know,
I really can't emphasize that enough. Is that something that You were born with that sense of it. Are you one of those that from, you know, the age of three, your parents couldn't get you to shut up because you were always saying your piece and, you know, helping people with speaking, you know, or is it something that you came to later? You know, how did you come to this time?
Okay, let me tell you. Okay, this is the first time that I share my story.
And, yes, we like firsts on this show.
Yes, lots of people asked me, how did I start my career in public speaking and why? And why am I specifically working in public speaking? Why I don't deliver any other kind of training and so on? So the whole thing started like 15 years ago, and I was just in managing things in school when I was always nominated to be the person who present the presentations or speak up on behalf of the team, of the other teams and so on. And I was passionate about it, but I didn't know what was that actually. What am I doing? Why am I that good in that? Why do I receive that kind of recognition? But I was loving to present my ideas in creative ways, and I was came up with a new way to deliver the presentation or so on. But then one day, one of my friends came to me and asked me, okay, I would love to upgrade the way I speak. I would love to present my ideas differently, like you. What do you do? He asked me, okay, what's the secret? And the point is, I couldn't answer him because I didn't have an answer. I didn't know what was in me, what's my talent, why am I able to do this, what are the techniques that I'm using. I was just good at it, but I didn't know what do I have.
Right.
But that question made me go and keep searching and learning more about public speaking and getting to know the scientific names of these techniques that I'm using and all of that. And then I got back to my friend and I started to help him and support him in his next presentation. And then I attended his presentation, actually, and he was speaking on stage.
How did it go?
It went very well. And that was the time when the spark came, actually. And I figured out that I don't have that piece of talent just to be able to present my ideas. No, I have that piece of talent to transfer it to other people so I can assist more people in doing this. Because the kind of feeling that I had while watching my friend doing that presentation in a good way was even better, much, much better than the feeling I had after finishing my presentation. So that spark for me that day made me understand that, okay, I need to go in depth more in that. I need to learn more about this. And then I became a member in Toastmasters International. And I started attending more club meetings. I started reading and doing more researches and so on. I was at the beginning presenting and providing my training sessions for free as a volunteer. And then I graduated from college. And I started my career actually in public speaking, providing training in public speaking, parallel to my full-time job in marketing department. So I was working two things parallel to each other.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, actually, because there's definitely a very much of a link between marketing and then presenting as well.
Yes, and I've been working in the corporate life and full-time job for more than 8 years. And then because of the time issues and so on, I dedicated my full time to public speaking. And I started studying psychology. And that's why at the end, I will say, there is no challenge, no opportunity that happens in our life as a coincidence. My work in the marketing field and getting to work in the corporates and my study in psychology were at the end for the sake of public speaking. Because when I deliver my training sessions, because I see, as you said, public speaking is actually a marketing tool. So if you understand how you do proper marketing for yourself, how you need to speak up your ideas, because when people talk about personal branding, they assume it's about how do you make your logo, how do you make your post, your content, or you make your business card or any of that. No. Your personal branding, a big part of it is how you speak.
Yeah. how you communicate, how you can convince and persuade other people. Yes.
Yes, because we see many people who are saying things online and they are claiming things online. But once you meet that person in person, you actually don't need to listen to his backstory. The way he speaks, it does not reflect the kind of values he claimed that he have or any of that. So I always say that public speaking is a marketing tool. So my background in marketing supported me in doing that. And my work in the corporate supported me in getting to know what happens in the boardrooms. What are their expectations? When you are an employee who have like a technical presentation or have a financial presentation, I would like to present it, how you are going to do this? If I don't have that background, then I would, then all what I was going to do is to present to you some information that I Googled online and I'm transferring that information to you.
Yeah. And then, you know what? I love the fact that that your first thing you thought to do was to go and study your craft. Because, you know, it's so easy for people to wake up one day and call themselves an expert, but you chose to study. You've used your background and personal experience of marketing in the boardroom to know actually what counts and what matters as well.
Yes.
One other thing I wanted to ask you, just kind of something that I have a personal interest in, which is because you speak obviously both English and Arabic. Do you speak any other languages or is it just those two?
No, just I used to speak a little bit French, a little bit Italian, but I forgot both. So I would say English and Arabic only.
Okay, cool. So are there any differences that you've noticed in when it comes to public speaking between speaking Arabic, whether it's how the audiences receive people or in English, or whether it's the phraseology, any kind of differences between the two, or is it pretty much the same? It's just something I've been kind of fascinated to know.
It's the same when it comes to the language, when it comes to the challenges that are facing speakers and speaking up their ideas. It is the same if this is your first language. For example, if my first language is English, the kind of challenges I'll be having will be the same if my first language is Arabic. But the difference over here is relevant to the culture, not the language itself. Because, like, for example, people who speak English, they have some certain filler words like. In Arabic we use words like tamam, oh, انت فهمني, stuff like that. So the Arabic speakers who would be listening to our podcast, they will totally understand the idea. The differences are relevant to the culture itself. Maybe here in the Arab countries, we're not used to express ourselves. Not because we're not capable of doing this. Actually, Egyptian people have the talent of expression a lot. Because when we are speaking, if you are communicating with an Egyptian, you will find him using his hands a lot, his facial expressions, and all of that. But when you take that person and put him on stage, you will find him eliminating all of these things because he was told that it's not good to use hand gestures. It's not good to use blah, blah, blah. So it's about the stereotypes in public speaking here in the Arab countries. Yes.
I've got you. Although actually that's very similar in, I think, Western world generally. Actually, I've done work here in England. I've done work in Nigeria. I've done work in the States. And very often, especially in England and the States, when it comes to corporate communication, people kind of go into their shell and they assume that there is one way to do presenting and that's what they try to do, as opposed to being themselves and being very individual and showing their personality. So yeah, I think that seems to be a universal problem across the countries. And you've trained, I was looking at your kind of resume, you've trained all over the place, right? You've done Morocco, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Oman, Bahrain, really quite a varied amount of work all over the place. How do you enjoy that aspect of training people, corporate people?
So the idea is not only about the different cultures, which is definitely a challenge, because each time I keep studying what are their expectations, how they will be receiving the information. But the point here is that I was just telling my sister this thing a couple of days ago, that each time I have a training session or a coaching session, I go as if it's my first time to coach an individual or give a training. Not because I'm not familiar with the content or any of that, but because I do believe you know that pretty well. If you are coaching somebody, with a different culture or different personality and different background, everything will be customized according to that person. So yes. Each time I'm meeting somebody or I'm traveling to another country, it's a great opportunity to learn. And I always make sure to bring all of those experiences into my training sessions back again, so I can transfer all the experiences that I have from my practical application for training sessions, or whenever I speak on different platforms, I bring those experiences into my training sessions so people can learn from those experiences. And I'm privileged that I'm able to meet different kind of nationalities, different cultures. It's a great add to me, actually.
Yeah, I see that. And because I've watched, I think there's a couple of training or speeches you've given, which are on YouTube or your YouTube channel, which a couple mm-hmm. are in English, so I could actually watch it and kind of figure out what was going on. Your TED talk, you did a TED talk or a TEDx talk in Minya, mm-hmm. right, which was in Arabic, so I couldn't watch it and understand. But what I love, actually, in a way, I did watch it still for about 5 minutes or so, because you're very expressive when you speak. You really, a lot of hand gestures, good body language. You could almost see the message that you were sharing in how animated your face was when you were speaking, which I really love. Again, is that something you, again, do naturally? Is that something you learned? How did that become the way you express yourself?
Okay, actually, that I will get back again. A part of it is the talent, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was never taught how to do such kind of expressions or any of that. I don't know, actually, the main source where this came from. Yes, actually. But the point, when you see different speeches for me, you will never find me repeating the way, because mm-hmm. I customize the way according to the audience. Like, for example, when I've done something with my voice in TED Talk, I didn't repeat that in other kind of speeches because it will not match with the audience. The point here, yes, I didn't learn this, how the way express these parts or this animated parts. I didn't learn from anyone. But the point here is the integration, how I will integrate this with the topic or to serve at the end the objective that I would like to achieve at the end. This is something definitely I prepare for. I think of it many times. I rehearse it many times. So I make sure that I will be delivering something that is not only, as I said, entertaining for the audience, but at the end will leave an impact. I will make them make a change and achieve a change at the end of their lives.
Got you. So then I really want to ask you actually about preparation, because mm-hmm. I firmly believe that it really is the key. I always tell my clients when I train that, you know, I say, watch, you know, a Steve Jobs presentation and look at it and you think, oh, he's just a natural, and then find out that he studied and practiced for hours and hours and hours yeah. obsessively and prepared in order to achieve that. So you obviously, as you've said, believe very much in preparation. What are your tips, your secrets, your techniques of how people should approach preparing for a speech or a presentation that they have to give?
Yes, I'm going to share with you, but I would like to comment on what you said, because mm-hmm. many people come to me and ask me, okay, you say that rehearsing is important, but do you believe speaker X does rehearsing and all blah, blah, blah? I keep saying, yes, they do rehearse. Yes. Mm-hmm. The idea is how to rehearse, how to make sure that you rehearse in a way that when you stand up and speak, people feel that it's getting from your heart and it's natural. And actually, no. And we are not faking it. The person did his rehearsal very good. So he is able to deliver his message anytime with the same expressions, the same way, so it looks natural. Rehearsing is everything. Right. We don't find any professional person anything in the whole world except he's practicing that skill and does the proper rehearsal for it. So getting back to your question, actually in the preparation, if we are preparing for a speech, usually if I ask anyone, after getting to know what is your topic, what is the first question you will be asking yourself, they would say, okay, the first question would be, who will be my audience? Right. No, this is not the first question. The first question that any speaker should ask himself or herself is, why will I be talking about that topic? why it matters to me, why it's important, why would I be passionate about it? That question is the starting point, because we see plenty of boring speakers. Okay, that is understandable. They don't use the right way of expression or the right engagement tools. Okay, we understand that. But we also see lots of bored speakers. They are standing in front of the people and they are too bored of their own presentation. Come on. If you cannot find a reason why you did, why you selected that topic to speak about it, and why you're passionate about it, you will not be able to deliver the message to your audience. So that question will make you more able to come up with the kind of experiences that are relevant to your topic, come up with the your feelings towards that topic, the right angle that you will be more comfortable to speak about it. Then we can ask the other questions, okay, how this will be relevant to the audience and everything. And just
to come to you on that, so if, because I mean, so important, passion, as you say, if I'm giving a speech or presentation on a topic that is in itself not necessarily that interesting, maybe I'm presenting the quarterly, you know, results of my finance department or whatever, how do I still achieve that passion or use that passion, even though the topic itself is maybe a bit dry? Any thoughts on that?
Thank you for this question. This is a very excellent question, because yes, you have this. Many people ask me this question. If I'm presenting a business presentation at work, how am I going to be passionate about my words? So again, you need to keep asking yourself why you are standing presenting that quarterly report, because the board asked me or my manager asked me to do so. No. Ask again the question why you are standing there to deliver the report, why you are standing there. So if you keep asking yourself that question, you will find the answer, which is, okay, I'm standing there because I would like to highlight my work. I would like the people who are attending that meeting to see the kind of effort that my team did. And, or, for example, that's why I always tell my trainees or my clients, you shouldn't have only one professional objective. You also need to have a personal objective. Like, for example, if I see that there is a promotion coming like in 3 months or something, and I would like to be considered, and I would love to leave an impression that I am a team player, that I'm a persistent person, then so this is an opportunity. Each time we speak is an opportunity. So the way we think of the opportunity and the way we get to the core of why we are presenting those ideas will bring the right feelings to our content. And I always say, please prepare the content that makes you passionate. The numbers, I understand that when we are presenting numbers, we assume that it will be dry and boring. But the story behind the numbers is never boring.
Right. Yes. I love that. I often emphasize is people don't really, it's not the numbers or the data that people want. It's the interpretation, your opinion, your presentation, your assessment of that data that really matters, or the way you say it, the story behind that. So yeah, I love that.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, so passion, we say, make sure, why am I, before I ask who am I actually presenting to, why am I even there at all? Why don't I just send an email rather than do a presentation? Yeah. Okay, so what's next in our preparation journey?
I wouldn't call it the next phase, but there's something that I would love to take the opportunity to highlight more, which is the content. I know we have hear that quote many times. It's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. I totally understand that, yes, how we say it is important, but what we say is also important.
It is, yes.
Yes, how can we ignore the content? How can we ignore the words? How are we going to select the kind engagement tools or the kind of body language we need to use or any of that if we have the wrong content? Content is really important and its value is disregarded a lot. Many people assume, no, if you have that presentation, it doesn't matter, but what matters is the person. No, the content is important. It's a formula. Content is important. And matter of fact, lots of people assume sometimes that their the stress and anxiety they face is only because they are they have that stress of public speaking. But sometimes the reason might be because of their content, because they have selected the wrong content, which puts a lot of effort on them either to memorize the content or either to try to connect to it or either to try to persuade themselves before the audience with it. So the content, if you have a problem in your content, you will not be able to express in the right way. So content is really important. We cannot just ignore the importance of the content just because we see lots of people who are standing on stage speaking with confidence, and we assume, okay, just because they have the way, that would be enough.
Mm. I love what you were saying about content, because so often people just assume that, as you say, you know, as long as I speak well, that's the issue. But that means they're focusing just on themselves. Whereas if they also think about content, then it means they're thinking, well, what's the impact going to be for my audience? Am I giving them information or a message that will actually change their minds or motivate them to do something that I want them to do? So I love your focus on content as well there.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So then tell me, you did mention about, who's my audience? And you said, well, that's not the first step, which I agree with you on. But is that a step that people need to think about as well?
Well, of course. We need to ask who will be my audience. And not only who will be my audience, we need to study the audience very good. We need to study their concerns, the kind of objections they might raise, and their expectations, their background, how familiar they are with the topic, and all of that. Because actually, when it comes to persuasion, if you would like to persuade a certain type of people or that group of people, asking the right questions will make you reach that point. So the more you ask the right questions, the more you will be able to influence those people. You will be able to make an impact. So definitely studying your audience, because you will not study your audience, if we don't have an audience, then public speaking won't exist. So we are doing everything for our audience. So studying our audience is an essential stage.
Yeah. And what do you find is most effective in persuading audiences and moving audiences or inspiring audiences? How do you influence audiences to whatever it is you want them to think or do?
Yes. Firstly, I would love to say that thank you for saying moving the audience, because this is my favorite expression. Because
yes,
when we say influencing people, most people would say, "Is I would love to be an influential person. I would love to be an influential person." And then, okay, you need to ask yourself before saying, okay, how to be an influential person, you need to ask yourself, how do you get influenced? When you are listening to a speaker, what influences you? How would you say that this is an influential person? If you think of it, you will find that influence, mostly people when think of the influence or influential people, they assume that it is about those people who stand on stage and make the audience clap their hands or make the audience laugh or shed their tears or get emotional. No, influence is not that. Influence is affecting people to the limit that you move them into action. Not only they would love the idea, okay, we are into your idea, but our main objective, and this is the main objective of public speaking, is to move people into action. Okay, how can we achieve this? How can we move people into action? You need to think of why people are not moving to that point. Like, for example, as we said, studying the audience. If we said, okay, I would like to convince my audience with a certain idea, and then you go telling the benefits of that idea to the audience, but you didn't ask the right questions over here, which are... Maybe your audience are already convinced with the idea. Like, for example, if I see lots of people standing on a stage speaking about persistence, you will never find anyone who will, like, for example, say, no, I don't love persistence. That won't happen. How to be an influential person is to ask yourself, why, despite the fact that people are convinced with the idea of persistence, they are not persistent. Why? Because they might be having some challenges when it comes to the environment they are in. Maybe they don't know the tools. Like, for example, if you would love to transfer the idea of the continuous learning, and you stand and you tell people the benefits of continuous learning and continuous development, and you need to keep developing yourself. So everyone will say, yes, you are right. Such great words. But some group of the, some people will know how to do this, and others will say, this is a great idea, but it's costly. Maybe they assume that the only solution to make a continuous development or continuous learning is through going and enrolling in training sessions that are too costly or blah, blah, blah. While, however, if we did understand the mindset of the audience in front of us, then they need more simple solutions. Like, for example, yes, you don't have to pay for a training session. There are plenty of free sessions online. You can read books, you can find blah, blah, blah. So you are making sure that your audience totally understand how can they apply your idea. And you are aware of the real challenges that are preventing them from doing that action. If you keep asking yourself those questions and you reach the point of what triggers them to move the tooth towards that action, you will be able to be an influential person.
Okay, I see. So it's really focusing less on just giving information for the sake of it, and more on what will it take to get them to transform or to take the step, because that's actually the measure of whether you're an influential person, whether you are actually influencing them at all, or just telling them what they already know and agree.
Yes, because as you said, information, how will I ever know which information should I include if I don't know, if I don't understand the sequence or the mindset in front of me and what they are waiting to listen to? Sometimes starting with the wrong information or starting from the wrong point will make the audience close their ears and will never listen to you. So, like, for example, if you would like to affect your team members and you start telling them the negative things about them, they will never listen to you. No one would love to hear their bad things at the beginning. Just tell us that we are good, that we're doing a good job, and show us that we have great capabilities, but there are some challenges that we might be that are inside of our application for some couple of things that are preventing us from getting better and so on. So they will be giving you their ears to you. You need to understand all these elements to be influential. Influence is not making people happy when they are sitting in front of you. Influence is moving people into an action.
Oh my God. You know something, Yasmin, a lot of the stuff that you post, you are a quote machine, by the way. You're not just trying to be someone who has good quotes, but a lot of times, even just what you just said then, it's kind of based in a lot of wisdom, a lot of inspiration. Like, there was one, actually, I actually copied it because I loved it so much. It was a post you said was, don't you dare fake it. Don't you dare disrespect your audience. If you believe that you need to lie to gain their hearts, then you don't deserve their time or their attention.
Thank you.
And, you know,
thank you.
I literally copied it and kept it. I thought, yes, that's exactly right. Have you ever thought of writing a book, or, you know, I know you've done the TED talk already, or something that just captures your own words, your own thoughts, you know, so that you can share that with other
first
people?
First, don't please burn my surprise to the audience. No, it's not now. It will be soon. But I would like to tell you something.
Ooh,
yes,
good.
Tell soon. I would like to tell you something. You remember when I told you from a couple of minutes, I told you that I believe nothing happens as a coincidence. And when it comes to the quotes and writing and everything, actually, since I was in school, I loved writing so much. I used to write poetry. I used to write articles. I used to write stories. So that also supported me in preparing good content when it comes to my speeches, or even, like, for example, the posts. Many people keep asking me, who writes your content? Yes. We would love, and actually people come to me and ask me to give them a training in content writing and so on. I tell them, no, this is not my area of expertise, and I'm not familiar with how things need to be done. I'm just familiar with my own skills that are not that big when it comes to writing, and it comes from my heart. So actually, I was privileged that I have this skill also in me, and I integrated it in public speaking.
Well, listen, Yasmin, you have to write a book.
Yeah.
That is what I'm going to
Sure.
say. I hope you will. And if you do, make sure you share it with me. I will certainly buy it, read
Definitely.
it, and share it with other people. Because I really do think you have a great general message to share, but also a lot of good value, whether it's tips, techniques, inspiration, to share with people. I love that you're doing it in a part of the world that I have not yet been
Yeah.
to. Hopefully one day I will.
Yes,
But
hopefully.
I it's good to know that those kind of things are universal the world over. So thank you for
Thank you
that.
so
And
much.
listen, Yasmin, we again, I keep saying whenever I do these interviews, I always say that I could go on for hours and
Yeah.
hours with people, but I want to respect your
Okay.
time. I also want to respect the audience's time who are
Okay.
listening. So I want to thank you for kind of sharing some of that with us. As I tell you, and as I do with each of my guests, we also have what I call my 10 question quick fire round. It's just a kind of fun set of questions to give us a little bit of a slightly different insight into you. So
Okay.
I'm going to do that right now. If you're ready, you ready?
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so remember, there's no thinking about it one way or the other, just instinctive answers. There's no right or
Okay.
wrong. Okay, so question number one. If you had the opportunity to write a speech or coach one leader in history, whether dead or alive, who would that one person be?
I wouldn't choose a certain well-known person. No, I wouldn't choose somebody. I would just choose anyone who really have a big fear in public speaking. Maybe just a random person. I wouldn't choose a well-known person, actually.
You know, I love that answer because A, nobody's ever given that. But also it kind of highlights that you're pure about what you're trying to achieve, which is changing people or helping people grow and develop, rather than I want to be known to have, coached Barack
Yes.
Obama or Winston Churchill, whatever it is. So yeah, great answer. Love that. Okay,
Thank
question
you.
two. On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous do you get before a speech?
Four.
Four. Okay, all right. Does
I
that depend on the speech, or that's pretty much the same all the time?
would say it's 4 to 5. It also depends on the topic itself. And if it's a new challenge, a new culture, yes, maybe it would be 5.
Okay, cool. Okay, question. Oh, I think this is three, but I may have missed one. But okay, love, wealth, or happiness? If you could only have one, which one would it be?
Happiness.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
Question four. Which of these would affect you the most in your speech? Your PowerPoint slides don't work, your audience doesn't laugh at your jokes, or somebody heckles you from the audience? Which one would affect you the most?
Okay, affects me the most to be the second one, maybe.
The audience not laughing at your jokes?
Maybe, but I do take a technique for this, so I don't think it would happen, but maybe it's the second one, yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right. So question five. If you had to relive one day for the rest of your life, like the movie Groundhog Day, I don't know if you've seen it, but if you had to relive one day for the rest of your life, which day would that be?
Any day when my mom and dad were alive and with good
Wow.
health, any
Oh,
day
lovely.
would be fine. Yeah.
Lovely. That's lovely. Question six, I think this is. If you could only listen, speak, or see, which one would you choose?
See.
Okay. Yep. Question seven, favorite album or favorite book or favorite movie, either all three or just one?
Favorite album, music album?
Yep. Music album.
I loved music album, the old music albums for Mariah Carey and Celine Dion. I cannot recall the name of the albums, but any album,
Okay.
old album for them.
Any Mariah or Celine. All right, cool.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Question eight. If we asked your family to describe you in three words, what three words would they use?
Oh. Okay. The first one is okay, crazy, definitely.
Okay.
Yes. The second one is creative. And the third one would be stubborn.
Okay,
Yes.
all very related, actually. So yeah, I
Yes,
get
actually.
that. Okay, question nine. What was your favorite period of life? Kind of education period, school, university, early work life when you were just starting out, or now?
favorite.
Mm-hmm.
School, my last year in that school, I believe it was my favorite one because I had too much fun with my friends and everything, maybe that period. And it was less stressful than these days, maybe that period.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay, all right, yeah. Excellent. And the final question, question 10, mm-hmm. which actor would play you, actor, actress would play you in the movie of your life?
I'm not into actual actress or actors. Because I'm into animation movies. So I would choose Mulan China, not because of this theme of the movie, but because I love her fighter spirit. It was my favorite animation movie. So I would say Mulan China. I know it will be a weird answer, but
no, that's cool. And it fits with crazy and creative as well.
Yes.
So.
Exactly.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Yasmin, for taking part of that. Again, just a little bit of fun to help us get to know you a little bit better. Listen, final thoughts you want to share, whether it's where can we find you if people want to get coaching from you or just learn a bit more about you, where should they go to find you?
They can just search my name, Yasmin Elbaz, on LinkedIn, or they can Google me and they will find my different channels, my different social media channels. They can just text me and I'll be more than happy to support them.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And I will share the links in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, just scroll down and you'll see links where you can find her as well. Fantastic. Listen, thank you so much for doing
thank
this
you
interview.
So much.
Really glad we could set it up, and also some really, really good kind of value you've dropped in there. I'm going to listen back to it myself and take away some inspiration. So listen, final thing, of course, is we say goodbye in a different language each time on this podcast. And since I have a guest, I give that privilege to you. So tell us the language and then give us the word.
It will be Arabic and it will be Ma Salama.
Oh, now, actually, in fact, one of my previous guests, Omar Zenholm, he's the CEO of Webinar Ninja.
Uh-huh.
He also did it in Arabic. And as soon as he said it, I forgot that I tried. But so I was hoping I would remember when he said it.
Yes, ma salama.
Say it again.
Ma salam.
Na salam.
Ma.
Na salam.
No, the first letter is like M.
Right. Okay. Ma salam.
Yes, exactly. Correct?
Yeah, thank you. I think you're being kind. Thank you so much for that. And yes, goodbye everyone on the Great Speech Podcast. See you on the next episode. Cheers. Bye.